Psalm 14. Psalm 14, as we look at the very first part of the verse, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. April 1st, April Fool's Day. There's going to be a lot of fools running around. And you're going to find them in every walk of life. You're going to find them in every station of life. You're going to find them in every economic bracket of life. You're going to find them all over the place. If you go out looking for them April the 1st, you'll have no trouble finding those who would say there is no God. Everywhere from the aristocrat to the gutter rat, you'll have no problem finding a lot of people would say there is no God. That would be an atheist. An agnostic supposedly doesn't know, and an atheist just says that there isn't. That would be an atheist. Strangely enough, in every generation, in every age, there is a large number of people that say there is no God. Scripturally, that would be a fool. A fool. A person with little or no judgment. Little or no common sense. Little or no wisdom. Silly. Stupid. Simpleton. A fool. Here are some synonyms. Nitwit. Ninny. Dolt. Blockhead. Numbskull. Dunderhead. Moron. Clown. Halfwit. Babbler. Scatterbrain. Bonehead. Turkey. Meathead. Airhead. Birdbrain. Knucklehead. Dimwit. Dumbbell. Just some synonyms for a fool. I don't want to be any of those things. I left off some of them because I thought it might have been a little bit too strong for some people. A fool. One who acts against what would be morally in his benefit. Now, sometimes we know we use the word different ways. And I'm sorry. And here's, you know, we use it over here. Here's misguided fools. Crazy fool, ignorant fool, drunken fool, pompous fool. I mean, so we use adjectives to describe them in different ways. But one who acts contrary to his best interest, that's a fool. A person who says in his heart there is no God, that's definitely against his best interest. Now, using the word of God and not just what we might want to spout off sometime, using the word of God, look at the rest of the verse. They, that is the fools, are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Awful lot of fools running around today. Scripturally. Now, don't you go out there and say, well, that preacher just called a bunch of people. Scripturally, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. Unwise, not smart. He's corrupt. Let's go into the church age, though. Because some people, if you don't bring a church age passage, they might not listen, you know. So, let's go to Titus chapter 1. Oh, well, we got some good stuff. That's good, preacher. Titus, that's right in the church age. Good. Good. We're all in agreement right there. See if this is not the same description. Holding fast the faithful word as he hath, in verse 9, as he had been taught, and he may be able to, able by sound doctrine both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. For there are many unruly and vain talkers and deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of our own, says the Cretans are always liars, evil bellies, or evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the faith. Unto the pure all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving is nothing pure, and even their mind and conscience defiled. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, no, not God, being abominable, every abominable works, and disobedient, and unto every good work, reprobate. Those elements in verse 16 are the elements that's found in Psalms about what a fool is. There's fools in the church age. Amen. Psalm 53. If the Lord tells you something once, it ought to be enough. But in Psalm 53, again, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God, corrupt are they, and have done abominable iniquity, and there is none that doeth good. Verse 4, have the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread? They have not called upon God? Why, the fool is out there trying to do away with the believers. There's a lot of fools out there, isn't there? Some of them are in places where they make various laws, aren't they? And they eat up God's people as though they eat bread. You say, where would that happen? You remember when Joseph's brothers cast him into a pit over in Genesis? And it says, after they cast him into a pit, then sat down to eat bread. We'll do away with him. Do away with him. Put him down in the pit. Then what? Just go eat bread. Amen, preacher. The fool is against God and against God's people. They live in contempt for God. Look at that in verse 3. Every one of them has gone back. They are all together become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Filthy. Maybe they're not filthy in the flesh because they take a bath and they clean themselves and they groom themselves, you know, and they use the deodorant and foo-foo juice and all. So maybe they're not filthy in that sense, but they certainly can be filthy in their thoughts. They can be filthy in their deeds. They can be filthy in their mouth. They can be filthy in their attitudes. That's foolish. Doing, saying, or acting in those kind of ways is doing, saying, and acting in a way that's contrary to one's best moral interest. Amen. Don't forget Tuesday. You say that passage says there's none that doeth good, no, not one. Does that not sound like a familiar passage in Romans chapter 3? We use that verse so often in soul winning, don't we? There's none righteous. No, not one. A person that's lost, away from Christ, not born again, to remain in that status is foolish. Can you imagine having the attitude that no matter what is true in the Word of God, and no matter what Christ might have done for someone, that they take actions contrary to their betterment, contrary to their eternity, contrary to what they really need in life, and they say, no, I don't want Christ, I don't want salvation, and they want to go on in their fully filthy, corrupt, abominable ways. It doesn't make good sense. It is though one would be out of their mind. Can a man be in his right mind and stay lost? You've pretty much come to that conclusion. Amen, preacher. They are filthy. They don't do good. Proverbs chapter 10. Tuesday, April Fool's Day. Proverbs chapter 10. Verse 18. He that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. A fool? What are the two characteristics in Proverbs 10:18? He hideth hatred with lying lips, and he utters slander. Those are foolish things. Things that certainly, if that's characteristic of fools, we who are saved ought not to be doing that. Amen, preacher. See, a fool's got mouth problems. Proverbs 17. Proverbs 17 and verse 7. See, he's got mouth problems. Excellent speech becometh not a fool. Fools don't like excellent speech. So what will they gravitate to? They will gravitate toward the profane. Amen. Profanity is not excellent speech. And profanity is not necessarily cuss words, though it includes those. Profanity is maybe to take something that should be higher and lift it up and use it in such a low way. And also often, I hear some who have married what they would consider to be the woman of their life, and they just horribly use it as my old lady. Well, that's not the level that she's supposed to be lifted to. That's profane. It's not cussing, but it's profane. It's just not appropriate. And even I hear a lot of preachers come along with this, and it's just not appropriate to say the man upstairs, look, that's God Almighty there. The man upstairs, I don't know, you might be a Mormon and think it's Jesus' brother Satan. The man upstairs. I understand the human nature that Jesus Christ came and dwelt in the body of flesh. I understand the hypostatic union of Jesus Christ. I understand that. But look, the resurrection has taken place, and he is now our high priest that intercedes for us before the throne of God. You best not go in town and call your lawyer something like a cutthroat cheapskate. You better not call your lawyer something that's degrading. You're liable to find yourself without a lawyer. And then to take the one who represents you before the throne of God and use some terms that are just a little bit degrading. Amen. Excellent speech. Fools don't like that. They don't like that. They'd like to go ahead and take the speech and bring it down. Amen. There's some words that people use in place of cuss words. that I think is despicable. I think it's tasteless. I think it's uncalled for. I think it's too common. And it's below the believers to use such words. You say, what words are that? Well, I'm not going to stand in the pulpit and tell you what they are and educate our young people on what some of it is. But some of it's just in place of cuss words. Oh, I know. In the South, we're real good at it. In the South, you know, they won't always tell you where to go directly. They just may tell you to go jump in a lake. Which lake are they talking about? Seems like it's Revelation, the lake of fire. It's just another way for the Southerners to tell you to go there and still have the appearance that they're good Christian moral people. So there's some words that are used, but excellent speech, that's not the characteristic of fools. They don't like to go that route. They got mouth problems. Oh, don't go there, preacher. Okay, but we will. We'll touch on it, and we'll just touch on this briefly. Being we're talking about the mouth problem. Proverbs chapter 9. I'll only have one gender show up for church next month or next week. Proverbs chapter 9, verse 13. It does say, a foolish woman is clamorous. Clamorous. Isn't that clamorous? She's going to run her mouth too much and gripe too much and have too many snide remarks. She's going to do things that cuts the relationship with anyone in the family. The simple solution, I'm going to get in trouble. The simple solution is zip it. But I want to tell him, zip it. Scripturally, a foolish woman, one who does the abominable works, one who is corrupt, one becomes filthy, and etc. We've already went across the description. That type of woman is clamorous. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 8. The wise in heart will receive commandments, but a prating fool shall fall. Verse 10. He that winketh with the eye causes sorrow, but a prating fool. Prating? That's not exactly part of the excellent speech that we're accustomed to. Prating fool. That is one who just runs on and on and on about those things which have no weight and little purpose to it. They just run. They just talk foolishness. And they continue to talk. And as they run on and on, and after a while, those around them are kind of wishing, won't you shut up? And then you wonder why they leave the room. A prating fool. And particularly when that person is talking about themselves. Look, there ain't no way you're that good. Go on and 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 on. The Apostle Paul even gets over in the book of Corinthians when he's trying to let the Corinthians know that his apostleship is as equal or as greater as those about it. And over in Corinthians he says, I speak as a fool. That is, I need to say these things about myself, but it sounds like foolishness even for a couple of verses to me to brag about myself. A prating fool. They continue to talk with little purpose. For you who are taking notes, it's their speech is filled with non-connotative orismology. Thought I just got to throw that out there. Yes, it's unmeaning loquacity. They not only have mouth problem, they've got brain problem. Proverbs 18:2. A fool hath no delight in understanding. That's what the scripture says. No delight in understanding. In Proverbs 10:8 and also 10:14, it says he rejects commandments. This instruction that one would receive. One to make one better. One whose moral life before God would improve their moral betterment. And they just won't listen to good instruction. Hello. Probably going to be a church full of them. There are a whole lot of different places this morning. Amen. Just won't heed and receive instruction. There's something wrong with the brain. They are meddlesome. Proverbs 20 and verse 3. Remember, Tuesday. 20 and verse 3. It is an honor for a man to cease from strife. That's scriptural right there. If a man can cease from strife, that's an honorable thing. But every fool will be meddling. Meddlesome person. It's not that they want to know things along the way in order to be able to help someone. They want to be meddlesome and they want to cause division, strife, agitation, conflict, because they're meddlesome people. And they need to quit meddling in other people's business. Woo! Preacher, go ahead. Meddlesome people. And it seems like meddlesome people are always going around trying to find out things about other people's business. They want to know. Oh, tell me about this. Let's get over here in the corner and talk. Oh, good night. That's the actions of a fool. Fools, we've already covered what kind of people they are, didn't we? We covered, they're filthy. We covered they do abominable things. We covered where they like strife. They like conflict. They got mouth trouble. Oh, they're meddlesome. Oh, yes. But it's an honor for a man to cease from strife. They don't learn. Proverbs 26, verse 11. Oh, preacher, must we go there? Well, it's probably a good thing. It's close by anyway. Proverbs 26, 11. We're close by anyway. Woo! As a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. Some of y'all got dogs, you understand that. And they will. About the most gross thing I've ever seen in my life. That's what a fool's like. All these things I've been saying up to this point, all these characteristics of fools and people doing fools, that's what they're like. And they keep going back to the same thing over and over and over. And you might not want to think of it, but if you're acting foolish and you're kind of doing those things that we've already described, that's a good picture of what you're doing right there. You say, I ain't doing it. Yes, scripturally, that's what you're doing. You're going back to it. Oh, preacher, 2 Peter chapter 2. Let's get another verse over in the New Testament. 2 Peter chapter 2. Oh, yes, preacher. We must take a look at it anyway. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there are false prophets among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord. Characteristic number one. Look in verse 2. Many shall follow their pernicious ways. Pernicious, that's destructive type things. Pernicious ways. Destructive. Sound like a fool. Let's look in verse 3. And through covenant shall they, with feigned words, make merchandise of you. They shall desire to consume you. Verse 10. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignities. Verse 13. They count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. They are filled, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin. Unstable souls. They have exercised with covetous practices. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity. Wow, verse 22. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog has returned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed in her wallowing in the mire. False prophets and people bringing in damnable heresies and things like that, they are described in that chapter exactly like a fool. And even, it's even taken to the Old Testament reference about the fool returning to his folly and like a dog returning to vomit.
Amen.
But it adds to it, it's like the sow. Some of your farmers, isn't that the female gender? Oh yeah. Right back to wallowing in the mire. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 23, it says that they love mischief. They love mischief. Mischief is to purposely, intentionally harm, hurt, injure, or it's exciting or instigating quarrels, conflict. They are inclined to do harm to people. Fools are that way. They like to hurt people, whether it be a physical injury, a financial injury, that deals with emotion. They just like to hurt people. And they do it so often with their words. Fools like to hurt people. Mischief. That's the right definition of the word. Mischief. Proverbs 10:23 is what that is. But let us go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. And verse 3. For we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving divers lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. Look at that verse 3. I mean, that list of things, that is foolish behavior. And the verse does say that sometimes, church age, sometimes even we do something that's foolish along the way. Well, the thing to do is recognize it, repent of it, confess it, and don't do it anymore. Amen. The fool has family trouble. I'm going to use Psalm 73 and verse 3. Psalm 73 and verse 22. There's family problems. For one thing, the fool makes mom and particularly mom, but even dad along the way. If they got a child that's a fool, it breaks her heart, causes them grief. They lose sleep. They embarrass the family. When children act foolish. But sometimes some of God's children act foolish. No one really wants to end up in life having raised a fool. Sometimes it happens. A fool causes family problems. That's also Proverbs 15:5, 15:20, 17:25. 10:1, 14:1. Ephesians 5, verse 4. Now don't forget, next Tuesday, it's April Fool's Day. It's coming up. Ephesians 5, for this we know. Sure, I got. Oh, I'm in verse four. Verse four. After listing some other things in verse three, verse four: neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He's talking about the walk of a believer in those first three verses, the walk of the believer. And one thing about a believer, he's not supposed to be walking in these things, and it specifically mentions foolish talking. Second Timothy chapter 2. We are close to the end of these notes. Second Timothy chapter 2. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do engender strifes. Why do they engender strifes? Why do they engender this conflict? Because it's foolishness. Foolishness does that. And fools will pursue the avenue of conflict and mischief. Avoid that kind of stuff. If there's people out that are like that, don't hang around with them. You got some people out there that are always trying to bring up things and where Cain got his wife. I mean, you know, that comes up, you know, pretty, oh, they want to do this. Well, if God can do anything, then can God make something that's immovable, that he can't move? If God can do anything, can he make something he can't move? You know, foolish questions. What happens when an irresistible force hits an unmovable object? Well, the force is deflected and the object is shattered. Foolish questions. And there's some, look, when you get around that and there's some folks like, don't hang around with them. If there's people that are acting foolish, don't hang around with them. Get away from that kind of company. Amen, preacher. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. This thing of loving money, the love of money, and pursuing it in and of itself is foolishness. Something wrong with having money? No. And if the Lord blesses you in a way that's legal, lawful, and not against God's commandment, well, praise the Lord for it. But to pursue it in and of itself and the love of it is foolishness. I think that's right there. I think that was right there. Those people go after that. They fall into temptation. They fall into snare. And many foolish and hurtful lusts. Proverbs 14:7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of knowledge. We covered how the fools got mouth problems anyway. And they're prating fools. And they talk about and do those things that are meddlesome. And a foolish woman's clamorous. Go from the presence of the foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lips of a knowledge. There's just some folks you don't need to hang around. Saved or unsaved, there's some you just don't need to hang around. You keep hanging around with a fool, pretty soon you'll be doing foolish things. You hang around the fireplace, you're going to get soot on you. You run with a skunk, you're going to pick up stink. But Titus still says that sometimes we too do some foolish things, isn't it? And what we need to do is recognize that and say, Lord, the devil sure tripped me up on that one. I didn't see it coming. I was blindsided. I got snared. I didn't even know it was coming. And I did something foolish. Well, the thing to do is come and talk to the Lord about that. Get that forgiven. Get that taken care of with God. And ask God to give you the wisdom and the spiritual sight that if such a thing would ever come again, that you'll see it this time and you'll not do a foolish thing again. And then go ahead and live for God. Don't let the devil do this foolish thing to you to cause you to ruin your future because of the past. Look, get it right with God. Confess it with God. And then go ahead and live for Him. Amen. I have seen some churches and heard some churches. And when you made some kind of mistake, they made sure you remembered it forever. That's nonsense. That's foolishness. That's wicked. If you get it right and you get it right before God, if there's any restitution that could be made, if you'll kind of do those things, look, you can go ahead and live for God the rest of your life no matter what's happened. We don't have to stay fools while we stand. The second of this next week, the 1st of April, April Fool's Day. Michelle, if you will. April Fool's Day. Yeah, we have. You've made some foolish purchases. You've bought some of the most ridiculous stuff along the way in your life. Sometimes you thought it was a good deal and somebody sure went ahead and cleaned your wallet. You've made some foolish decisions along the way that were utterly stupid, idiotic, dumb. But the characteristics of the fool that loves strife, that loves mischief, that's engaged in abominable things, that's filthy. You don't have to stay there. You can move from there over to the ranks of the wise in about 20 steps, right up to the altar. Fool. Fools are not limited to age. Fools are not limited to gender. We got them all ages, men and women, boys and girls. You don't want to be one. If there's been things along the way that were absolutely dumb, stupid, ridiculous, or rather maybe a nitwit about some things, a lame brain. Look, come to God. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. God will give you wisdom for the rest of your walk. To the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our instructor. You can have the wisdom, you can have knowledge, you can have the Holy Spirit to illuminate some of those things that you really missed before. You get into the Word of God. I tell a young man, cleanse his ways. Don't have to take heed. Let that Bible show you more than what I discovered this morning. Let that Bible show you what's foolishness and what's not. And you can avoid the foolishness. You surely don't want to be a God give you the answer, cleanse you, and help you to walk with Him the rest of your life. May God do that. God bless you. Don't forget Tuesday. There's going to be a lot of people to try to make you seem to be a fool. But let me remind you, the devil's not going to wait until Tuesday. He tries to make sure you look like one every day. Tuesday, you'll be alert. Gonna come up and tell you something, and you'll think, they're gonna play it. Look, you need to be that alert every day because the devil wants to make you, particularly as a Christian, look like a fool. Stay alert. Have faith and trust in Him day by day. The Lord's given you a sound mind. Let's use it. Amen.